Genesis chapter number one. Genesis chapter number one. If you were to ask me, in all of my years growing up in church, one that we didn't really ever spend any great length of time on, right, wrong, or indifferent, was the family. And I tried to think back of how many messages I've heard directly on the family. And so I've been praying about building strong families. We're all in different seasons. Some of us, we have kids at home still. Some of us still have kids at home. And then some of us wish that their kids would move on from home. And but no, we're all in different segments of life. Some of us are grandparents where kids come and they come and invade the house and those kids get sugared up and everything else and push back on the parents, things like that. But we're all in different seasons of our life. And I'm only 42 years of age, and my family looks like four girls and Sarah and myself. Our oldest is 16, our youngest is 9. And so I think there's only 4 kids living inside of the house, but if you ask Sarah most days, she'll tell you there's 5 children living in the house, and somehow I qualify as a child most days. But I do believe that our family unit, our family is a special unit given from God to us. As we look at the family this month as a whole, I want us to honestly examine our homes and ask ourselves some very important questions. Also, I want us to realize that the only way that we can fix, change, correct, expand, cultivate, grow, or reset is if we're truly honest with ourselves. Maybe you can say, you know what, our family is just fine. And we're doing everything we can for Jesus. Maybe it's, man, there's a lot of areas and some areas that we need to do better on as a family. If I was to be honest and tell you where I'm at currently, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are areas that I and my family could be doing better. And that is the only way that we're going to realize that we can do and live the way that Jesus wants us to. One cannot change or improve if they think that they have it all together. And I think that if we are very honest with ourselves, we could all look and see areas where we know that we need to improve. Maybe hit that reset button, restructure, look at it, get help, ask questions. Because a lot of times we know that we're struggling. Sometimes we try to bury our problems and hope they go away. But the truth of the matter is, the only way that we can make our family unit better, and I don't mean better like than everyone else, but how about another word like whole or complete, and that's with Jesus. And the more honest and open we are with Him, the more that He can work on our family unit. The more that He can do the things that He needs to do. And the sad reality, the reason that some of our worlds are falling apart in certain areas or not together in certain areas, it's because we think that we can handle it. But this will not be a time for me to sit up here and beat people up. That won't do any good. It wouldn't do me any good to continue to say things that are inflammatory or haughty or basically things that are not even listed in the scripture that many people, if we're just honest, even many pastors and leaders in the past have done. And it's turned a lot of people off. If we were honest, it has turned a lot of people off. We wonder why we lose other generations. And if we were to seriously look back, we would see that men are just men at best. They're not perfect men. And so they're full of faults and everything else. But so don't think that I'm going to sit up here and just throw a bunch of stuff or my preferences or things that are not biblical to help us with our family. But I think it should be a time of encouragement for us to sit back and realize that we can be the family of God that He wants us to be. With that being said, there in your Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible said, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image, and in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'll be with us this next few moments. Lord, for everyone to understand, Lord, the things that You have shown me and to bring across, Lord, I just pray that there has to be an important foundation that is laid. So, Lord, I pray that You'll be with my speech. Lord, You know that I don't want to be offensive and I don't want to offend. So, Lord, I ask that You would empty me and that You would fill me, that I would say exactly what You would have me to say, and that I would not say anything that You would not have me to say. Lord, I pray You'd be with the hearers tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us. Thank You for all that You've done, all that You're going to do. We give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Here it talks about the first union that was created. I do believe for us to be able to talk about building the family, we have to have the foundation laid. We have to talk about the foundation. So for just a few moments tonight, I'd like to zero in on mom and dad for a moment. But even before mom and dad, husband and wife. So as we read here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us, the Trinity, make man after our own image." And He created male and female, created He them, and He said after the sixth day, and it was very good. The other days He said it was good. But after He created man after His image, He said it was very good. Now let me say this by way of introduction to get started. God created man and woman and the family unit before any other organization. He did not create the church first and then the family. He did not create the government first. He created the family. And so He wanted us to know that He created. Thank you. I feel the power now. Thank you for that, Brother Russ, giving me a little bit more power. But He created male and female, and He created the family unit, and that's where He had His communion with. And so the first thing we need to realize is, and we've heard it a million times, but by way of repetition, He created man and woman first. And when He created man and woman first, let's go a little bit deeper. Take your Bible and turn over to Genesis chapter 2, verses 24. "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I want you to catch that. They shall be one flesh. They're no longer two, but now they are one. They're not two different individuals in this unit. They are one. They play two different parts. Hence, that's how we can understand the Trinity in the home. But you realize that it says that the husband and wife are one, and when they got married, he is in the book there in that same chapter, he says, she is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Her name is woman because she is taken out of man. And so the first thing we need to realize and understand and revisit is husbands and wives are one. They're not two. They're one. She is our helpmeet, the Bible says. That suitable partner. See, my wife and I have been best friends for over 25 years. We dated for 5.5 before I ever got married to her. But the day that I said I do, from our dating and our courtship and our engagement till today, from the marriage day till today, we've been one flesh. Now, I don't want to scare you, but go to Ephesians chapter 5. I know this chapter can be scary for a lot of people. Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 21. And this is where I've said it. I do believe that a lot of pastors have gotten themselves in a little bit of hot water with how they bring this passage across. In verse number 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now let's stop right there before we go to the next verse. This is where, let me explain where I believe that we have skipped over verse number 21. You've heard many of pastors start a message out of the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm not mad at them for it, but they always start with verse 22 first. They skip over verse 21. See, if a marriage is one flesh, it's then a partnership. And that verse says, submitting yourselves one to another. That means that in my marriage, I submit to my wife and she submits to me, and it works. Now, as you get into the next verses, 22 to the end of the chapter, it does talk about a more of a defined order. But I'm going to bring out a word, and you might think it's the word submit, but it is not that word. But we'll go a little bit deeper. You read down to the end of the chapter. We'll read these verses together so we stay in context. But he said, I speak of you the great mystery. He's speaking about the church and Jesus' relationship with the church. So with those glasses on, let's read these verses together. And I have this word circled in my Bible. Verse number 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as to the Lord. Let me stop right there. The word that I have circled in my Bible is own. Own. And this is where I believe that this is where pastors in the past have taken more liberties than they should. This is where I believe that pastors sometimes overstep their bounds in talking about the home or going into the home and preaching against the home or pastors telling people to come to me and let me be the end-all, be-all answer for your home. And see, that is not the divine order. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another. Verse 22 then says, wives, submit yourselves, but to your own husband. In other words, God is saying through Paul's writing, you have that order, stay inside of that order. You're not a less than, you're not a lower, you're not a smaller part, you're equal. I've already said submitting yourselves one to another. But he says when you do it, and if I love Sarah the way I'm supposed to, we have a perfect partnership. I submit to her because I love her. She submits to me because she loves me. We do things to honor each other because we love each other, because that's what we want from each other. We want a successful marriage. We want a successful home. We want a successful and a prosperous life. And Jesus says, hey, it takes submission on both sides. But a lot of people have stepped out of line trying to put their 2 cents in someone else's home when they should not have. So it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be subject unto their own, there's that word again, husbands in everything. And here it goes. So wives, you do have a part to play as a wife. But then, on the flip side, you're both submitting to each other. You're not equal. You're not less than. You're equal. You're not subpar. You're there with them. It's a journey through life because, again, it's one flesh. But then it gives a little deeper. It says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. There it is again, the word own. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself also. So here we are. There are parts we play. There is a divine order. There is protection in that order. However, I believe by man's preference, they've taken it way too far. They have taken away the beauty and the dignity of the wife and the part that she does play. But God says that when we play the part of submitting one to another, and if I love her the way that she's supposed to, I'm going to submit to her the way that she is submissive to me. It's a love back, and it says, I love her, and I'm loving. It's like God loving the church and me loving him and me loving my wife and my wife loving me, because it says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man yet ever hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For you are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. So first, can I start by way of having a good foundation? It's a partnership. We're one flesh, working for the same goal, to have a good home where we can raise our children. It is not a home where it's ran by dictators and an iron fist. And I know that there's been many of decades where that was how it was. And some of us are products of it. We know people that really have been products of that hard, no nonsense kind of raising. But a husband and wife, your relationship was first ordered. Your first responsibility, though, is to your spouse. And that is your most important relationship. That is with your spouse. What is the importance of our marriage? It is someone that we get to spend our life with. I use the word get to on purpose. I don't have to. I get to. I choose to. And so if we're one flesh, and the Bible says, if I love my flesh, I'm going to take care of it. I'm nourishing my own flesh. That's how I should love that. And since we are one flesh, she is part of me. That I can't say that I love myself and I don't love her. I can't take care of myself and not take care of her, because that's not how it works. We are one. Therefore, husbands and wives, leave your father and mother, and you're one flesh. But see, that's why I look at it. That's someone I get to spend my life with. That is someone I get to work life out with. I get to work out life with. I get to raise this crazy family that God has given me. I get that ability to do it with her. And we get to raise a family. God has entrusted us with a family. See, men, God has given us a partner to enjoy life with. And ladies, God has given you a partner to enjoy life with as well. Like I said this morning, it's all how we look at it. Is it empty, half empty, or is it half full? But I'm going to say this. I know for a fact, I am a testament, that marriage is not always fun, though. Marriage is not always fun. But can I remind you that you did marry your best friend? See, the day that I said I do, remember those days, married men, women, you stood there all googly-eyed, couldn't believe that someone actually said yes to you, and you said, I take you to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward. And you said this one with a smile on your face, for better or for worse, in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her, as long as you both shall live, do you so promise? And you said, I do. So, you said it that day with a smile on your face, not knowing quickly down the road, some of us, we hit some bumps in the road. And when we hit those bumps in the road, you're like, man, did I really sign up for this type of deal? And don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And you realize that, hey, I did marry my best friend. This is fun, and it was very fun until you hit your first big bump. Maybe it's something crazy out of left field that just rocked y'all's world, and financial ruins flipped upside down. Crazy, crazy things. And you're like, man, I thought marriage was going to be fun all the time. It's fun about 99% of the time. I'd get in trouble if I said anything less, so that's why it's at 99%. Percent of the time. Did you know, though, even though we're one flesh, can I remind you, this is probably the hardest and craziest part of all marriages, is that I cannot control my wife. I cannot control her. I'll go a step further. I cannot change my wife. Ladies, can I get a witness of how many times you tried to change your husband? Do you know what I mean? But the reality is, I can't change her. I can't force her. I can't force her to change. But what I can do is go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and say, God, I'm going to submit myself and I'm going to do it in the obedience that you have done. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to play the part that I am supposed to play. We have so many marriages on the rocks. We have so many marriages falling apart in this world. We have where it's now, it's just easy to divorce. The divorce rates are out of this world. They're out of this world for Christians especially, because the world's already like, hey, I'm not even going to sign up for it. We'll just live, and if it don't work out, then we'll leave. So they never get added into the statistics. But we never go back to the Word and say, God, what am I supposed to do? There's no asterisk here in this portion of Scripture. It says submitting to each other as to the Lord. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as to the Lord. Chapter 6 starts with, children, obey your parents in the Lord. If I ever think that I can change my home, it change happens with me, but I can't ever change her. But you know who can change her? It's him. But here's what I was going to say before I got off on that extra rabbit trail. Many marriages nowadays, if she's not playing her part, I'm not going to play my part. That's why marriages are destroyed daily. See, you know, marriage is not a 50-50. Marriage has never been 50% you and 50% me. Marriage has been 100% me and 100% her. I don't want to give half. The Bible doesn't give an asterisk of how if she doesn't do X, that I don't have to love her or submit to her. If that was the case, Jesus said, I'm the husband and my church is the wife, and I'm submitted to them. I love them like myself. I died for them, but they're not following after me. If God was the same way, or Jesus was the same way we would, or some ways that people think, Jesus would have checked out on us a long time ago by our thinking. But I want our families to be strong. But in order for our families to be strong, our marriages have to be strong. And if our marriages have to be strong, I have to realize there's some things that I need to do. Submit. Love. And when I build it on that, it's going to make those hard days less hard. So since I couldn't change her if I wanted to, I have to ask God to help me. I'm not saying that Sarah and I have it all figured out. And in fact, I feel like every day we're learning. And I feel like we're learning more and more. But fellas, can I encourage you? You know the way that you got your wife way back when? You know what I do? This is just some things that I have learned. It's not my preference that y'all follow these, but I'm just telling you what has worked for me. Okay, because I just told you I wasn't going to bring preference into my preaching as far as biblically. But I'm just talking about being a good man. I still date my wife. I still ask her out on a date like she's my girlfriend. And in fact, I still call her my girlfriend. She is. Because I knew how important it was for me to get her. And I know how important it is for me to keep her. And it is something that I work at. It is something that I want it to be an important part of what's going on. I want my children to see it. I desire that my family, my girls, see a dad wanting to take care of their mother. So part of me submitting to her is I still ask her out. Thank God I don't have to call her dad and ask her anymore. She's still my girlfriend. Remember when y'all were dating? Back when a lot of us were dating, our phones were still hooked onto the wall. Remember that? These young kids have a cell phone. But we could only go as far as the cord could take us. And we didn't think having a phone was cool at that point, right? Because it didn't have all the apps attached to it. My kids all the time, can I have a phone? Can I have a phone? No, you can't have a phone. Who are you going to call and text? That's the first thing I ask them. Who uses a phone to call and text? That's what a phone is. Now, this phone at this point in my life has my whole world on it. If I lost it, I don't know what I would do. But Sarah finally has trained me to put everything inside of a calendar so she keeps me on track. But to keep that foundation fresh and to remember where we came from, I'll be honest, we still act like newlyweds. I enjoy walking down the street holding her hand. I enjoy being with her. I still love to laugh and travel with her. I would rather drive all over the United States and have her with me every step of the way. Check this out. I still tell her that I love her all the time. It's not just lip service either. But I want a happy home. I want a productive home. I want a good foundation. And I know a lot of y'all are like, yes, we know this. Sometimes we just need a reminder. I still tell her that she is more beautiful than when we got married. I do tell her that she is the best mother in the world, even after time she comes to me and says, Josh, I think I'm the worst mom in the world. You're still the best mama in the world. And I probably call and text her more than I should. Why? Because it's important to me. My marriage is important to me. The foundation is important to me. And God says, hey, if you love me, you're going to do everything you can. And he said, I gave you my whole life. He said, give your life to your family. Protect them. Stand in the way. Be that knight in shining armor. And yes, my wife will tell you that I'm often her fifth child, but that's because I act a little childish and I might have ADD, but she wants me around. I'm glad, because no one else would. Here's something else. I don't look for times to be away from her. I look for times to be with her. I plan my life to be with her, not away. I don't go on vacations by myself. I don't leave for whatever reason just to get away. If I ever have to leave, like I do, unfortunately, in 3 weeks, I'll be flying right now to Pensacola. And I'm dreading that trip because she's not by my side. And I've tried to figure out a million different ways that I could make it happen. What I'm saying is, if I'm supposed to submit to her and love her the way that I'm supposed to, and the way for our home to work the way it's supposed to, I just want to love her the way that God has designed me to love her and to spend time with her. You know, we could do a lot better as couples if we communicated every day. If we would just take time and just communicate. One of my messages for the family is on communication. I think it's very important because lack of communication drives imaginations. When people don't communicate, their mind is left to wonder. And when your mind is left to wonder, I will tell you, your mind plays horrible tricks on you. It devises all kinds of evil and wicked plans and makes you think that things are not as they seem. If we would do better as a couple, we would work on loving each other more. One of the biggest ones is staying on the same page. I hate when we have conversations. I'm just being completely open and transparent with you tonight. One of the lines I hate the most in my marriage world is when Sarah will look at me and say, "Josh, I feel like right now we're not on the same page." And I'll say, "Hey, are we at least in the same chapter? Are we on the same paragraph? Are we in the same book right now? Help me out. How far are we off on the page? Am I a couple sentences off?" Because I want to have a good foundation at home, so I want to be on the same page. I don't want to be just on the same page. I want to be in the same paragraph. I don't want to be in just in the same paragraph. I want to be in the same sentence and the same line and the same word. We would do a lot better with couples if we desired to just be with each other. Call and texting them throughout the day. Some of y'all might be, "Wow, she never talks to me," or, "Wow, he never talks to me. Something's wrong because he or she keeps blowing up my phone." Maybe they're just trying to communicate better. See, I want our church to be a place of strong marriages. Why? For us, for our children, for our church, and for others that are watching. I want our children and your children to know that they want to have a relationship like y'all have had. I want our children to know that they are loved and they're cared for. And here's one that I hesitate bringing up, but give me just a moment. Remember, the Bible says that we are one flesh. We have children. But our children should never come between us. Many good families, many strong families, have crumbled because they let the children come between the parents. God has given us our children for us to raise them, to teach them to love Jesus, follow him, and have a relationship. There's a few families that I have worked with over the years and watched their kids grow up. One guy came to me on a Sunday a couple years ago and said, "Hey, yeah." I was like, "Hey, where's your wife at?" He's like, "Well, I found out she loaded a plane on Friday to go visit her sister. And she didn't tell me until she was leaving for the airport." And I was like, "You live with her every day." He's like, "Yeah, I know. You know, since the kids have been gone, she's traveled a little bit more." I walked away kind of sad for him. Now, I love my children. I want them to marry well. I want them to be successful. But I'm looking forward to it being just her and I again. Hey, call me right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm already planning what my house is going to look like in 9 or 10 years without any kids in the home. Prior proper planning prevents poor performance. I love my children. I want them to succeed. I want them to marry right. I want them to live right. I want them to raise another godly generation. But they're going to get a godly generation outlook when we live at home what the Bible says. so often. Now, I'm not a tool guy. And the only reason I have Milwaukee, Greg went with me to the store. I didn't know Milwaukee from DeWalt. But I was told this evening, since I have Milwaukee stuff, Greg, that's probably Nate's fault because he's a Milwaukee guy. And your dad was offended I didn't have DeWalt stuff. And so I'm just sitting here thinking it's just a red bag, but it's not. I got my Milwaukee glasses, my Milwaukee tape. I don't think I've ever used it. Funny thing about me, no calluses. I was telling Brother Ray before the service, no lie, full disclosure, if I have something that needs help around the house, I call the people to help me and I say, hey, I've provided the power equipment. I've never serviced those mowers. I didn't get a battery one. Nate would be proud of me. Nate is proud of me. Since I didn't buy a battery one, Nate's like, hey, do you have tools? I was like, yes, I do. Nate came over and I helped him fix my mower, you know. In other words, I just said, hey, do you need another bottle of water? And made sure he was taken care of and he was comfortable. And so I could be really dangerous with these tools. I really could. I can't even hang pictures. But a lot of times, I will say this by way of tools. We're not familiar with a lot of the tools that we have. And so I do know that when this tool comes out, there's a lot of damage that's going to happen quick. Either they're going to pull out one nail or they're getting ready to rip a bunch of drywall down. And they might throw this thing into the wall and watch it stick and then pull it off. I've seen this do a lot of damage. And they don't know how to use it. Well, they do, but I wouldn't. But there's a lot of marriages that this is how they try to fix things. When we can go here, we'd rather just tear it all down or burn it to the ground and start over. And we're always working in a construction zone of messes that we've created because we're not using the right tools. So for us to build stronger families, for us to have strong families, we have to use the right tool. I mean, this is a good hammer. Right. Exactly. It's definitely not a hammer. I think it's a vice grip or something. I don't know. But we're using all the wrong tools. We don't even know how to talk or communicate to each other. We'll be done in about 5 minutes. My desire is that we use the right tool to have a good foundation. If you feel like your marriage is on the rocks today, go back to the beginning. How did you get her? How did you trick her into marrying you? That's what I should say. Do that one again. Start dating her all over again. Start calling her all those names. I don't want to hear what they are, but start calling her all those names that you used to call her back in the day. Start walking beside her in the store, holding her hand. I'm sure the first time you grab her hand, she's going to say, what are you doing? Is all right? Is everything all right? And you could say, I almost fell and I needed some help, but keep your hand there. I want to tell you a very personal story, but I don't want to. So I'm going to have Brother Russ hit play on a video. My kids love the Andy Griffith Show. And about 8 weeks ago, I was thinking about this whole marriage thing. And this sometimes can sum up how we talk to each other, how we operate. Brother Trevor, if you want to hit that light. I think there's just about four, it's about a 4.5 minute video. But y'all remember the episode where he's the marriage counselor? How many of you remember that episode? How many of you think you've never seen that episode? Raise your hand. Okay, it's a great episode. You need to watch it. Basically, Andy is trying to help a husband and wife. And Andy and Barney, even Barney, is about ready to pull his hair out. But let me read you this before I read that. This is just, Sarah sent me this and I thought it was hilarious. She sent it to me today. She didn't know I was going to play this, I don't think. The reason Mayberry was so peaceful was because nobody was married. Andy, Aunt B, Barney, Floyd, Howard, Goober, Gomer, Sam, Ernest T. Bass, Helen, Thelma Lou, Charla, and Opie. They were all single. The only person that was married was Otis, and he was a drunk. But I would really like for all of us to not be that way or live that way or even think that that's a suitable way to live. I look and see when we live such a way or it is such a way, we wonder why our kids run. There's not a good foundation set. I really do. I think that's where we fail. I'm not saying that, I mean, Barney said, do I need to help them out by holding a gun to their head? I don't think that, no, he didn't have to do that, but I do believe that it is a habit. Some of us in here might be struggling in our marriage today. She's been a little too selfish, wanting to do it my way, not caring if someone else bent to their need, not submitting to each other, not doing it the way that God has intended for them to do it. But if that's how you feel like it is sometimes, maybe there's an area or two or three or five or ten, I don't know, that you know that you can start working on to reversing those. Now, if you've never seen that whole episode, go home tonight and watch the rest of it. I think it's hilarious. I can ruin it for you right now. Basically, they're nice to each other and they hate everyone in the town. And so they get them to fight all over again so they can have peace in the town. But I don't want you to go home and take that part of it, you know. I want you to be nice at home and nice to everyone around. But I want us to have good, strong families. I want us ones that we're submitting ourselves to Him, to each other, living like we are one flesh, loving each other like we're supposed to, so that we can have a good foundation to teach our children. If our marriage foundation is not there the way it should be, there's cracks in that floor and it makes itself known. So I desire for us as a church, and you might have been like, man, Josh, I know all of this and you kept me till 7:15 with it. I know, but we just needed to go over some of those again. Maybe we just needed to be reminded, hey, I've been a knucklehead sometimes. I'm the one saying, morning, honey. I'm the one waking up frustrated at the situations at hand. Can I encourage each of y'all to go home and watch your wedding video? You know that we do that every year. We watch our wedding video. I watch it, so I'll be watching it for the 20th time next year because I'll be married for 21 years. Or is that I've done it 21 times? Yeah, something like that. I start losing time. I'm having so much fun. I watch it. I remember those days. I remember watching everyone walk down the aisle. I remember how I felt inside. I don't want to forget. You know, remember the first message I preached here about the stones of memorial? Go back and visit that stone of memorial of your wedding and how wonderful life was. And realize what you had to do to get to that point. And then you work on it. And then you realize that your spouse is the greatest thing that God has given you. And then after that is your children. And you want them to see the way that you love God and see the way that you serve God and the way that they see the way that you treat your spouse and the way you reverence them and honor each other and submit to each other and love each other. And that's how we produce another generation of people saying, it's God, He taught us, I want to live just like that. My parents had a good relationship, I want one just like that. I don't want to grow up in a home where it's bickering and fighting and backbiting and screaming all the time. And you don't have to live that way. I'm not saying you have to be 100%. But man, I said I do to my best friend. I don't know what I would do if I was without her. I'd be a wreck. I'm fully vested in that relationship. Our marriages would go to another level if we realize what God has given us and we push forward saying, I'm going to continue to keep it that way. I'm going to focus that it stays that way. Because with God at the center of us, we can't be defeated. We keep Him there, we get there. Our kids watch us, they repeat. And that's where it's at. We're losing generations. Don't let it be said of us. Next week, communication in the home. Communication in the home. There's good communication, there's bad communication, there's loud communication, there's quiet communication, and there's sometimes silent communication. But I do know that with God, all things are possible. He can help us have a strong home, a strong family, and a strong marriage.